Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey listeners, this is Post-Production Jen with a quick note about today's episode. Today's guest hosts a podcast with adult themes, so during his introduction, those adult themes are mentioned, but not expounded upon in any way. But if you want to skip that part, you can skip the first minute of the interview to completely avoid that topic. Also, it was a really strange day with our abilities to speak, so if you stay to the very, very end, I've added a blooper reel of us not being able to talk. Hope you enjoy my talk with Dylan as much as I did.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Hi there, and welcome to another guest episode of Oof, Right in the Childhood. Today, I'm talking with Dylan Lincoln from Plot What Plot podcast. Dylan, why don't you say hi to the listeners?
Hi, everyone.
And why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your podcast?
Hi. So, yep, my name is Dylan Lincoln. That is actually not my real name. It is my porn star name. Because of my podcast, I like to use that. So sometime in the future, I may be hireable by people. It's not the sole purpose of our podcast, but currently we are having fun ruining everyone's childhoods by reading and reacting to various smutty fanfics. So recently we just did SpongeBob.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And it was... It was a lot. And before that, I got to use my Cookie Monster voice.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, that's what I do, is I just kind of take everything we know and love and make it horrible.
Well, I mean, I mostly focus on how it was already horrible, but at least we found, you know, a Venn diagram where we have a lot of overlap. So Dylan, you came here to talk about The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, which is the only package film released after the wartime era in Disney history, but not just about the film, about A.A. Milne and Winnie the Pooh in general, because, I mean, you're kind of a literature critique, I guess, or something. We'll call you a literary critic. There you go. That's what you put on your on your resume, literary critic.
We'll go with that. I think I'm going to steal that because I've been trying to find a way how to put this on my resume and look really professional without saying that
good call,
I technically
good call.
Peddle
literary
smut.
Critic. There you go. So why don't you tell me about your earliest memories of Winnie the Pooh, whether or not it was the movie or the books, or how'd you get introduced to him?
Yeah. So gosh, my earliest memory is actually, I used to watch the TV show with my mom every day when I was very little. So it was my older brother and sister would go off to school. I'd jump right out on the couch and that was our thing. I don't remember that bit. My actual earliest memory of Winnie the Pooh is a reoccurring nightmare that I would have when I was very young. And I would, in the dream, get out of my crib and I would try and crawl down the stairs to get away from the beehive that Winnie the Pooh tries to get to when he's being the storm cloud.
Oh, my.
So still love it. But yeah, that's.
See, that wasn't my nightmare fuel. It was totally the Heffalumps and Woozles scene that really messed me up as a kid. That scene is something.
I loved that scene. I would watch that on repeat as much as I could. That song and just like the colors.
It was a rave for children. That and Pink Elephants on Parade from Dumbo are just absolutely like this why yes. moment. Which is like, why did you give us this? But okay, thank you.
They're like, here, small children, here is what it's like to drop acid. Have fun.
It's exactly like, you know, the 40s and 50s were a lot of, we're not taking drugs, but they're just in everything. So I wonder if that's where Pink Elephants on Parade came from. And then, you know, this came in the 70s, so everyone was just doing drugs. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And I actually never realized just how similar Heffalumps and Woozles and Pink Elephants on Parade was.
Right, right. When you watch it as an adult, you're like, oh, I see some crossover there, some influence.
Yes. Yep. Well, there's also, have you ever seen that clip? Oh my God. Is it from the movie where it's Christopher Robin and Pooh and they're walking along and he's carrying his stick, but then it's the exact same yes. animation for Mowgli.
Yes. It's fantastic. Fantastically overlaid. Someone just sent me that actually a couple days ago. One of my friends just sent me that. And I was like, yep. This is the copy paste era of Disney where they're yeah. just like, we're not doing it again.
And I mean, it makes perfect sense. I am sure animating now is horrendous. I cannot imagine having to do it back in the day by hand, frame.
Oh, I know. Like I talked about it a little bit in the 101 Dalmatians episode about how much xerography decreased their budget. Like it halved their budget on 101 Dalmatian. And like the ability to just copy cells and then just repaint them was huge for them. And you can really, really see that they kind of took off with that as hard as they could for the Bronze Era. Just like, hey, you know what? We're just going to put that in there. That's fine.
Oh, yeah. It was a hit once, it'll be a hit again, and these dum-dums exactly. are still going to give us their money.
This is great. Wonderful. I mean, you know, the board of directors had been saying for years, we should just show our old movies, Walt, and just focus on the park. And so they were just like, we're just going to show our old movies, but what we're going to do is we're going to put a new coat of paint on them and make people think it's a new movie.
I just, like, there are so many times that I would have loved to be able to be a fly on the wall for certain conversations, like especially something like that, like where, you know, obviously it's the money, but was there some brave artist that was like, no, this isn't art, this isn't what I'm here to do, and storm out? Or were they all just accepting that they've sold their souls? And
well, for this particular movie, I'm pretty like, most of the guys that worked on this movie were the 9 old men that Walt had personally hired, and so they were just, you know, they were old and nearing retirement, and they're just like, yeah, we're just gonna draw. But we are getting yeah. into that era of Disney where people did get angry and storm out and take half of the studio's animators with them. Tom Bluth. But not quite. Like he actually started while this movie was in production. But yeah, this was, I think, just one of those like, yeah, we're just gonna do the thing. This is fine.
Yeah, and I mean, it already had a built-in audience because they also mm-hmm. just took shorts, right, and threw them together into a. They did a minimal effort on this.
So what we're going to do, it's like, do you ever have that person in your classes that would just like turn in 3 papers from 2 other subjects and be like, this is the project that you asked for. It is absolutely different from everything else I have done. Yeah, I had those. I knew those people. It's okay if you were those people. You were that person. That's
yeah. I was that person.
I was usually the person that was like, you just turned that in like 10 minutes ago in chemistry. They're like, shut up. Oh, right. I am.
Oh, yep. But I at least would do my part of group crop projects. I was never that person. I wasn't going to drag anyone else down. But for myself, I was like, look, you're lucky I'm even here. So you can either take this Or I'm going to
see
just
when I did go. Group projects, I would just be like, okay, you are responsible for this section of the group project. And if that section isn't done, someone's going to know that you didn't do your yep. job. I was vindictive by the time I got to that point. Like,
but that is very fair. And I look back at school, and obviously we all had our own stuff going on and school is horrible in general, but it's just, if you cannot take 2 seconds so you're not screwing everyone else over, you deserve to be thrown under the bus.
When I was in college, like, people who give group projects to college students deserve to do group projects with college students. Like, you should have to do one of these before you assign them. just so you remember what this is like, because it is not fun. Yep.
Oh no. See, thankfully, I tried the college thing and I realized that I'm spending too much money for something that I don't particularly care about. So I'm just going to go. I'm going to figure it out. Best of luck to all of
y'all. Yeah. I went back when I was older. I was like the second oldest person there. I got a degree in biology and never used it. So excellent. Instead, ooh, I became a coder and now I write, you know, for a podcast about Disney, you know, stuff.
The natural progression.
Yeah, exactly. That's the, as I understand it, it's the ADHD career progression as generally expected. Yes. Like, I'm just going to pinball around for a bit. It's great.
Yep. No, I feel that. I I've been in New York City for about 8.5 years now. I originally came out here for acting, tried to do the whole Broadway thing. And I was like, no, I can't. No, not for me. And so I've bounced around from working at Yelp, selling ads, to working for a wine importer and helping people selling wine. And now I've landed in healthcare as an office manager. So like, I fully get the whole, I'm just going to bounce back and forth until I find something that catches my attention long enough.
Well, if you're going to work in healthcare, that's the place to be working in healthcare right now. Like, I work yes. in an office far away from people. Excellent.
Well, so I can't say unfortunately, because I at least I have a job. Like, I started this new job the day that the city went into lockdown.
Oh, no.
But I am vaguely patient facing. Every now and then I have to cover and like check people in and out. But for the most part, I'm locked away in my office watching them through a little window being like, hello, you're my fake television for the day.
Yeah, I work in e-commerce. And when I started 5 years ago, people were like, I don't know if that's super useful. And then last year, everyone was like, oh, hey, e-commerce, that's a thing that everyone needs right now. And so yep. being a front-end web developer for e-commerce, that is a thing to do. And you never see a person.
The dream. Oh, there's part of me that like would like to think that I could go full hermit in the woods and just never speak to a soul again. And then I remember the internet and I'm like, no, I actually kind of need that bit. So unless I'm getting Wi-Fi out in the middle of I can't even remember a thing of nature that's around me aside from Central Park. So apparently that's where I'm going to go be a hermit. Wow.
Please. Yes. I want to see you build a hut in the middle of Central Park and put up a satellite for satellite internet. And just, I'm going to read that story on the internet and be like, oh, I knew him when.
And not the weirdest thing that this city will have ever seen.
Oh, no, by no means. Absolutely not.
Oh, my God. Have you ever actually been out to New York City before?
I have not. It is on my checklist of places to go and hate. I really, really want to go. And then I also know that as soon as I get there, I'm going to be like, hey, there's like people here and I don't like people. So I'm like, I want to go to Times Square, but also I do not at all want to go to Times Square. I want to do like virtual New York City, like just do the 3D like virtual goggles and be like, feel like I'm in New York City without actually being in New York City. That's a goal.
I wonder if there's actually something like that.
I'm sure there will be. If there isn't now, there will be at some point. Just, you know, I'd like to go to Paris this week and just put on some goggles and pretend like you didn't have to wait for 6 hours to go in the Louvre and stand at the back of a crowd and go, that's the Mona Lisa over there.
But why is that so true? You just spoke to my soul, because I literally, when my friends, and I can't say dragged, because that's not correct. I love museums. I don't like people. But there was a line to see the Mona Lisa. And I was just like, nope, I see it. I've seen it online. Why are you making me wait for 2 hours to just see it a little bit closer than not even a little bit closer, farther away than I could if I just pulled it up on my phone?
Right, right. Like, you can zoom in on things and see the cracks on your phone. It's great. And there's so much other stuff in the Louvre, though. Like, I would go to the Louvre for everything else. I know that there's so many other great exhibits in the Louvre that mm-hmm. aren't the Mona Lisa, but I have heard the story. I actually would be that person that would be like, I'm just going to go the other way from the crowd that is rushing to go see the painting that's
mm-hmm.
over there. I've seen it. No.
And that's exactly what my co-host, I went with my co-host Hallie and our group of friends, and we were like, we're just going to go explore the things that we can't find online. And they have like what people's rooms would have been at through different points in history. And it's just like, there's so much more. It's so cool. It is just, I would love to go back to Paris and spend more time in Paris proper instead of the amount of time that we spent at Disneyland Paris, because that was a lot and underwhelming.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that Euro Disney is something. I was just talking to my husband about how the Smithsonian is supposed to, they're planning this huge exhibit for the 250th anniversary of the United States existing, where they're pulling Neil Armstrong's suit out, and they've done a full restoration and all this stuff. I was like, can you imagine? We should go there for that. And he was like, okay. Everything that you have just described sounds really cool, but you want to go on July 4th for the 250th anniversary of the United States to the nation's capital. There's going to be a couple people there, Jen. Like, you're right, but wouldn't it be cool?
In theory, it would be. That would be so cool. The idea of that crowd, like even before pandemic times, the idea mm-hmm. of that crowd just made my skin crawl. But now I'm like, oh, there's going to be five people in one space. No.
No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. But the reflecting pool and the fireworks and the Washington Memorial, and he's like, I'm Canadian. You are completely lost on me here. And I'm like, yeah, no.
Oh, no. I'm not even Canadian, and I feel that in my spirit.
Yeah, marry a Canadian. They will just take whatever patriotism you have left and be like, no, this is not a thing. Well, we'll loop back around Winnie the Pooh now that we've meandered all over the world for a little bit. So you grew up with Winnie the Pooh and having nightmares about bees, which is fantastic. Are you afraid of bees now, or was it just the bee hive from that particular tree?
Yes and no. I'm not the type of person that is going to run away screaming bloody murder, but whenever I hear that buzz, it's just like, it kicks in my fight or flight, and I can't fight a tiny bee, so like, instinct is to run away, but I will sit it out, because we need to save the bees. They are cute little fuzzy saviors of this planet, but I hate them.
You're like, they make honey and that's great, but also no. I have this rule that I'm like, okay, so spiders, you and me are really cool as long as you are not in my personal space. And then mm-hmm. one of us has to leave that space. That could be you in a cup. But yeah, my daughter is deathly afraid of spiders. Just like, nope. And I get it. But also, they eat things that I don't like. So I will let them stay in my garden. I have one that pops up in the garden every year. That's like this big old oak spider of some sort that just hangs out above my plants. And I'm like, oh, friend.
Uh, Oh, see, like that is the wholesome spider. I live for that spider. It's the spider when you're in the shower and you just turn around and it's in the corner and you're like, oh no.
It's holding a little knife and it's protecting your shampoo bottle and you're like, why me?
It's that one I don't like. I hate that one.
But having
a garden. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Having a garden sounds so delightful.
Well, when I say garden, I have a planter that has some herbs in it.
It's more than I have.
Well, I mean, I do have a 3-foot by 3-foot square that is counted as a lawn, which is lovely. And I do understand that that's a huge amount of green space for New York. So,
yes, that is. That it's like an actual forest for me.
You should come up here to British Columbia. We have like trees, like real ones.
Oh, no, don't tempt me, because if I ever did, then I'm never coming back. I'm going to escape into the wilderness of Canada.
Well, you know, I came to visit once. I live here now.
And never look back.
the Heffalumps and Woozles song really... like it really did strike me about how similar it was to the Pink Elephants on Parade. But the thing that I noticed when watching it this time is like, I didn't realize how many references to guns there were in Winnie the Pooh when I was a kid. Like there's a gun in Christopher Robin's bedroom and Pooh has a gun.
It went completely over my head. And even when I would watch it, because I have nieces and nephews, and so like I would watch with them, and I never really noticed it until I did a rewatch for coming on and chatting with you. And I was just sitting there and I was like, I mean, it makes sense when you think about when AA, and I always mispronounce his last name, Milne.
I think Milne.
There we go.
I've always said it Milne. So I'm probably gonna get blasted because I call him Milne and oops.
Oh, I have been getting teased relentlessly for daring to pronounce Sega incorrectly. So I am now very, very conscious of, am I mispronouncing this? And the answer is usually yes.
Probably yes. I am. If you've only read it and it's a word in English, probably.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible. But like you stop and you think of when A.A. Milne was alive, and I'm vaguely certain that he was actually in a world war. So it makes sense that this would be something that would show up in his stories and then later on in cartoons. But I was still just very taken aback by how innocently it existed in the movie.
Yeah. So he was in World War One, and he fought on the front lines. He had trench foot, and then he was part of a top secret propaganda unit, which I found really interesting because he also was a conscientious objector. And then he just signed up for making propaganda. So there's some feelings there. I would kill to see A.A. Milne propaganda. Just, I've seen the Dr. Seuss propaganda. I bet A.A. Milne's better.
It has to be somewhere. I've definitely seen a Dr. Seuss. I remember there being something with Donald Duck that was horrifying.
So that was actually my first bonus episode on Patreon. I covered all of the Disney propaganda during World War II, and it is something.
God.
There is a whole thing with Donald being a Nazi and then making fun of Nazis the whole time. But I mean, if you just see a clip from it, it's just like, Donald was a Nazi. What the crap, Disney? What were you doing? And then you find out like it's a whole dream sequence, and then he wakes up in star-striped pajamas. It's like the only time I've ever seen him wear pants. He's wearing like an American flag pajamas, and it is messed up. I can give you a link to where you can watch all of them, and you can sit around and be like, huh, that's what fed them. Cool.
That would be, because I have never seen the rest of it. I have literally only seen Donald Duck as a Nazi part. And I understand that obviously back in the day, you have no clue what could even remotely be in the future. But you couldn't stop to think, hey, if someone only sees part of this, this is not going to be a great look for the Walt Disney Company.
Well, they actually did have a huge part in the World War. So basically, the day after Pearl Harbor, the U.S. military walked onto the Walt Disney lot and said, so we own this now? And the only way that they could really continue making movies was if they were like, so what if we cut a deal and we still get to keep some of it and we make you cartoons for the war effort, please?
I mean, good for them.
I mean, you know, everyone was doing that kind of stuff back then. Like, it was World War II. Everyone was mad.
Ow. Oh, that is so interesting. I cannot even believe, like, just picturing going home one day and it's like, oh, so how was work, honey? And it's like, oh, you know, it just turned Donald Duck into a Nazi. Just, you know, the usual day in the office. Like,
yawn. Well, see, and it's funny because Donald was the everyman. They kind of made him the every American. Mickey went off to war. Donald was the guy at home that was working to make sure that the people off at war had their munitions and whatnot. So he just kind of became the everyman that they just happened to dress up as a Nazi and everyone takes out of context. And it gets really weird. And that cartoon is kind of racist anyway. But oh, well.
Oh, it's just, oh, that's one of those things. I love old Disney. Like, I love Fantasia. All of it. It makes me, my memories of it. I have very fond memories of it, but I try to avoid going back and rewatching it because I know, and I am sure you are well aware of this. Just like,
oh, you mean did I start a podcast while I was rewatching it and going, why? Why did you do this to me, Disney? I forgot. Why?
Oh, it's so painful. It is every time. I am so excited that they are going to be redoing Splash Mountain and theming it for Tiana, because I love the Princess and the Frog. I want there to be more Tiana everywhere. Oh boy, that fever dream of a ride is wild.
Oh my gosh. I mean, like, I grew up in Oklahoma, and so I still remember when Disney Channel used to play Song of the South on Disney Channel just because they could. And when I started this, I was like, so I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to do a review of that because like the whole time I'd be like, it's racist. It's also racist.
So the shorter list would be what wasn't racist? And what it was the
there was a bluebird. There was a bluebird once. That is all. But I did kind of see it in this. I made a mention of, you talked about Pooh being the little black rain cloud. I was like, when do we get past the point in Disney where characters stop dyeing themselves black, please? Because it's not this movie and it's not the next movie.
Nope, it was not. And I just, I sat there and, because I love that song. I used to sing that song with my mom all the time. And that was one of those ones where I was like, oh, this isn't great. It's not the worst, but it's not great.
I will say, like, yeah, he rolls in the mud. Yes, he turns black for a second. And then it almost immediately falls off. And he's just kind of like a darker version. Like, he's just kind of muted colors. And so I appreciated that he wasn't like blackface Winnie the Pooh for very long. I was cracking up. I had completely forgot that. Maybe if you say, tut, tut, it looks like rain, they'll be fooled. Oh. Like, I love you so much.
It's just, it's so wholesome, and it's that's one of those things, like that part specifically is just something that, and I don't know, maybe it's because I grew up in suburbia Massachusetts, like that this was a thing, but whenever it looked like it was about to rain, I have vivid memories of us sitting there in our elementary school classes and just being like, tut tut, it looks like rain. And I'm sure our teachers must have thought that we were malfunctioning somehow, because it wasn't like we would say it once. No, kids latch on to things and they just never stop. But it was everyone, every single person in my class, that was the thing to do.
I don't think I remember that particular one, but I remember it was real big that TTFN was real big where I grew up. So TTFN, ta-ta for now, which is the beginning of text speak, and you can't convince me otherwise.
No, you are 100% correct, because that was everywhere on... Now, did you say AIM, or did you spell it out A-I-M?
A-I-M.
Okay. I switch back and forth, but it was just like everywhere on AIM. And I will still, even at work, there are some things where not many people catch it, but when they do, so I will constantly, and not even realizing it, if I don't catch something, I will go holiday hooby wuddy. And every now and then someone carries on and then stops and they go, did you just quote Grinch at me? And I'm like, yes, accept it, move on. TTFN is one of those things that I will still, as I'm signing off of Slack at work, just TTFN.
Yep. Ta-ta for now. Yep. Absolutely. I still use it all the time. And I still remember that I loved tickers so much. And my mom thought he was the most annoying thing in the world. But I just like... I liked how he would be like, Tiggers love X. And then he'd do the thing and be like, Tiggers don't like X. And I'm like, oh yeah, I love you. I love you so much.
He was just so cute. And his song, like, I feel like I am vaguely decent at tongue twisters because of Tigger's song.
Yes.
I can see why your mom would hate Tigger, because like, yes, teach my small children to be hyperactive and never quiet. Sure. Thank you, Disney, for that one.
I kind of worry about his like memory. Like, he has the memory of a goldfish, because every time he sees him, he's like, I'm Tigger. And I'm like, I saw you 5 seconds ago. We need to have a talk about Tigger's memory.
He's so cute with his T-I-double-G-er.
I was going to say, I'm Tigger. T-I-double-G-er.
It just makes me so happy. But yes, he at some point in time, he hit his head. And thankfully, it was not one of the markers of becoming a serial killer. It just messed up his memory.
Well, it's like, you know, Winnie the Pooh is the bear of very little brain. They make that comment several times. And he actually has these really deep thoughts throughout the movie of like, he'll say, I'm not very smart, but, and then he'll say something that's actually really deep and thoughtful, and you're like, well, okay.
But it's just like, I think that part in particular is so great, because I feel like it is very easy for kids to get into that rut of, well, I'm not smart. I am little, and my brain is little, and I'm not smart. But then you see Winnie the Pooh, who's like, oh, I'm not smart, but then carries on to say something actually really intelligent. And I feel like it helps kids be able to build that confidence, to be able to reframe. No, you know what? Sure. In this moment, I might not feel smart, but I'm growing.
Right. I would actually talk at the end of this last episode about how I feel that these were all versions of mental illness diagnoses, like all the animals. And I don't really know how much of that was from the books, because it's been years since I've read the books. But like looking at, I make several reference to Tigger's ADHD. There's nothing about Tigger that isn't ADHD. Pooh has an eating disorder. Piglet has anxiety. Eeyore has depression. Rabbit's OCD. Owl's a narcissist. Kangaroo exist. They're not very much in this one. So I was just like, I don't know what they are, but I will take votes for what they are. But like, when you look at it, I keep wondering, like, was this Milne's way of saying, no matter who you are or how your brain works, you can have friends and you can come together with other people who are different from you? Or is that like me overreading into A.A. Milne's brain?
I mean, it's very possible that that is, but I'm taking that away from this. I think that is amazing. It's such a great way to look at this story that could just be like, oh, it's just a kid's imagination, and turn it into something that's so much more.
Well, like, when they have Owl's house destroyed, and you have Eeyore, the saddest donkey, who just, like, meanders up, and he's like, I found Owl a home. And it's been, like, a week and a half, and they're having a party for Pooh for not actually rescuing Piglet. And you realize, like, this super depressed donkey has been spending a week or more looking for a house for his friend without anyone reminding him. Like, that's all he's been doing. And I'm like, he's an amazing friend. You can be depressed and still be an amazing friend, kind of thing.
Yep. Oh, I
love Eeyore.
I really love Eeyore. He is the cutest freaking thing.
It is funny. Like, I'll be sending people messages like, hey, did you know this? And they're like, could you not tell me things about Disney films, like, ever? Like, could you not tell me that A.A. Milne and Christopher Robin, like, that A.A. Milne died without ever reconciling with Christopher Robin? That's a thing that I should not need to know. Like, you're welcome.
It's like, look, if I have, I am a fan. And my friends love me dearly, but also hate me, because if I see something and I'm horrible, not I'm horrible, it's horrible. I live by the motto of see something, say something, and I refuse to suffer alone. So I'm going to share it with them.
Yep.
I'm the worst, but sorry. Nope. No. If I see this horrible thing, you're seeing this horrible thing. Obviously, there is a line. And mostly, this is like horrible things that we can laugh at.
Oh, but yeah.
I'm not one of those jerks on the internet. I felt like I needed to explain that.
No, I totally understand. Like, I was sharing, there's a couple of people that I share my research with as I'm doing it. And, like, I'm not going to spoil it, but The Rescuers, you should absolutely tune in next week for The Rescuers to find out what the movie that Walt Disney was going to make instead of The Rescuers. Whenever I tell people these things, they're like, I'm like, can you please think about this family-friendly movie that was going to be this? And they're like, could I not ever know that? Thank you. I'm like, now you know.
I'm gonna listen, because I loved The Rescuers, and I'm morbidly curious, but I'm also like, do I want to do that to myself? And the answer is yes.
Well, the answer is they didn't make that movie ever. So this is more information about, like, when they have two movies and they're like, which one are we gonna make? Is it gonna be movie A or movie B? And movie B was, I'm not gonna say it. It's movie B was long pause is what it was.
Oh, I'm so excited. I am afraid. So you are going to be coming into present day, like, just continuing through until there's no more Disney to be ruined.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to keep doing it as long as I possibly can. And then my husband thinks that once I finish Disney, which I think at this point is going to take me 4 years to do all of Disney. And by that time, they're going to have more. But when I'm done, he wants me to start on other, you know, Disney stuff. So, like, then I could go into the Jim Henson world, or I could talk about the Don Bluth experience, or, you know, things like that, and go through those kinds of children's movies. I'm doing a couple of them, you know, once a month. I do one on my Patreon, where I talk about something that maybe doesn't fall into this category, but it's something from our childhood. So, like, I did Mary Poppins, which is a story. I talked about Legend this month with Tom Cruise, and that is a messed up movie. The problem is I've never seen any movies, and so my husband was like, hey, this great movie from when I was a child, and I was like, excellent, I'll watch the what is this? But I asked recently, like, tell me about your childhood movies that you would like to hear more information about, and so now I have a list of ideas of things to do.
Oh, that is such a great... I am excited to see what movies you bring up. I am so excited for you to get to eventually to Goof Troop. And I know that that's still quite some time away, but I love that movie and cannot wait to see what shenanigans you pull out from the ether.
A very goofy movie is absolutely an amazing movie. And I would recommend, if you have an hour, to go on YouTube and look up a YouTuber named Sideways, and he does an amazing video on why A Very Goofy Movie is the best Disney musical ever made. And it is fantastic. And when I watched it, I was like, I buy it. This is well done.
I'm excited. I have already saved it in my phone because I also, much like Tigger, have the memory of a goldfish. Mm-hmm. And if I don't put things in my phone, oh, bye-bye.
Yeah, that's, I'm working on learning how to do that. Learning how to cope with, I don't have a memory as an adult is something that I'm working on.
Oh, it is. It's a wild journey. I, like, my, in a bunch of my different friend chats from groups that I've been friends with since middle school, they're like, oh, you remember this? How about this? How about that? And I'm like, are y'all sure that I was around for any of this? And then they just throw these things that I said and did. And I was like, look, you could be screwing with me right now. I am going to trust you that this is a thing that I did. It sounds very on brand for me. So I'm going to accept this.
Yeah, my husband and I, we have this thing where we'll just say, I don't remember this conversation. Whenever the other one is like, I don't remember this conversation.
Yep.
Like, okay, excellent. Wonderful. Great. It was just a very important conversation in which many things were discussed, but cool.
But it's gone. It's
like, you're making me wonder if I've hallucinated conversations. This concerns me.
Oh, it is. You are the first person that I've really come across who shares that feeling where it's like, wait, did I make this up? I didn't make this up, right? That moment of existential dread where you're just like, oh my God, is this whole thing that was very important to me a lie? It's rough.
Well, that's I've been kind of, one of the other things that I deal with when I'm watching these Disney movies again, well, first of all, is I don't remember this very offensive part. Excellent, great, wonderful. I'm so happy about that. But then I'll go, well, I remember this, but it went differently. And I have a lot of Mandela effects going on with Disney. I remember different things, like Bambi. I didn't remember they ran away from the hunters twice. Like, oh, well, I thought that she just died the first time. Cool.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I didn't. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the Mandela effect. I hate it so much. It's really interesting and I love it. But at the same time, I'm like, no, I don't need that much convincing that we have somehow jumped to a wrong timeline.
Yeah. I would like to know what upset the timeline that erased the Berenstain Bears or the Berenstain Bears. And
it makes me. And this was actually in our episode that we recorded yesterday. I brought up Hallie, my co-host, mentioned the Monopoly Man. And it's like, that gentleman with a monocle and a top hat can stay away from me. She's like, Jake doesn't have a monocle.
Yep.
No. Woo.
You're thinking of Mr. Peanut.
Yep.
Yeah, ooh, that's a very common one, yeah. Someone did the Fruit of the Loom one, like, which of these is the Fruit of the Loom? And I was like, I'm not going to answer because I know the answer because I have the Mandela effect where I know the wrong answer and it really upsets me.
I hate it so much. The Fruit Loops one is another one that messes me up.
Wait, please share that one. I don't know that one.
So it's... my God, where it's one is where I think it's actually spelled FROOTS, loops, yes. Instead of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, it's always been fruit, FR, the real people way, not the Can Sam way.
I think there might be a legality thing with them calling it actual fruit. I'm just saying.
Oh, that's horrible.
I've said somewhere recently, I was like, every time I see something that's like misspelled, like when you like see Kids Castle with a K, I wonder if there's a legal issue with them spelling that with a C. Like, you can't call that a castle. That is not okay.
That just makes me think of all the like nurseries and like dentist offices that have the illegal Disney artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And Disney actually going after them.
Yeah. I actually knew a couple of church daycares that had that happen to them in Oklahoma. And it was just a mess. Just, Disney, don't.
I just, could you, I think I would rather be the person going home to their loved one explaining that they had to turn Donald Duck into a Nazi instead of being the one going home to their loved one and being like, yeah, you know, my day was great. I just took money from a church.
Yeah, I just sued a church into non-existence because they painted a Mickey Mouse head on their like nursery walls. Thank you. Excellent.
You know, you're really, really doing... Keeping everyone safe out there from the fake Mickey Mouses. Although, if you ever do come to the hell that is Times Square, the mascots, the knockoff mascots,
I've heard of them,
are so aggressive and so scary looking.
Oh goodness!
No, if you ever see one, do not make eye contact and do not stop.
I don't see you. You don't see me. It's just, I'm holding my hand up. Like you can see me. Like I've got my hand up next to my eyes. Like, nope. No scary Elmo. We don't need to have a conversation.
My friend G actually got cornered by one of those. It was an Elmo and it was a heart. I call it Mocky because there was no Mickey Mouse on that day. It was very upsetting. And she was so mad because we didn't realize it until we were almost a block away.
Oh no. I have seen the Hollywood Boulevard version of this. So like, yeah, I've experienced a little bit of that joy. Air quotes.
But I feel like at least the Hollywood Boulevard one, there are some talented, like, aren't there some dressed up as superheroes and they can do the flips and some dances and whatnot? I think I would maybe stop for a second and be like, oh, that was fun. If I tried to do that, I'd break my neck and then carry on. But like
break dancing Spooderman? Yeah.
Not Spooderman. Oh, that just makes me... I'm very easily amused. I don't know if you've picked that up yet in this conversation.
Makes this whole conversation so much easier. Just like, I'm not actually funny, but this works out.
Oh, see, I think you're the best kind of funny, though. Like, you are just effortlessly, like, you don't even have to try. It just, like, off the cuff, and that is the best kind to me.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, did you know about A.A. Milne and Christopher Robin? Like, A, did you know Christopher Robin was a real person? B, where Winnie the Pooh came from? And C, that they, like, didn't get along and that he died without ever reconciling Christopher Robin because that's super happy.
So I did actually know that Christopher Robin was a real person. And I knew that him and his father did not end on good terms. I didn't know that Winnie the Pooh was a goose. I thought that he was an actual teddy bear.
No, okay, so he was a teddy bear. So A.A. Milne gave Christopher this teddy bear named Edward, and then they went to the London Zoo, and they met a black bear named Winnie, which is like this whole big Canadian thing. And he renamed Edward to Winnie, and then he had also named a swan Pooh. And so when Alan wrote the book, he's Winnie the Pooh. And I was like, I'm sure there was a reason that the swan was named Pooh. The first time I read that like bit, I thought it was saying that he used to call the bear Pooh. And that made sense to me as like a little kid trying to say bear going Pooh. Like that made sense. Yeah. But then like, you know, he named a swan Pooh. For reasons that are British, I think.
There's something that I find so amusing because I agree with you. The idea of a swan, like, why are you calling it poo? But the idea, because we grew up with bear being a thing, it's just like, oh yeah, no, it's totally acceptable that he would name this giant creature that could just maul him poo. Sure.
Why not? Yeah. Well, I mean, a swan will mess you up. Like, I'm actually more afraid of the swan than I am of the bear. Like, there is no escaping a swan.
I learned that lesson young. Thankfully, I was not the one that was chased. But again, so with my mom, there was this stretch of road and there were two lakes. And we used to drive by it and stop to watch either this baited swan couple just do their swanny thing, or watch the fog people, which was just fog rolling across the road. I was a very weird child. but this one time we stopped to see the swans, and we stopped and it was coming after this dude. I do not know what he did to piss it off, but it did not stop. I was terrified.
Like, oh, I have miscalculated all of the bad things. Yeah. Like, people think we have a raptor sanctuary up here, birds of prey, and people think that, like, you should be afraid of eagles. And honestly, they will rip you a new one if they get upset at you. But, like, geese? Canadian geese and swans? Mm. They're just, like, the worst.
Nope. Geese? Nope. Now, those stupid little dinosaurs, I have actually been chased by them when I was little. They wanted the bread I was feeding the ducks.
No. It happens usually here during nesting season that someone hits a golf ball a little bit too close to the Canada goose nest, and they decide, this ball is mine, and I'm going to sit on it, and no matter what you do, I'm going to be a mean bird, and I'm going to make sounds that make you sad. One of our bird of prey people is actually my husband's cousin, and she trains these birds of prey, and we had her out one day with, like, falcons chasing the Canada geese off school property because they chased the kids. And she's got, like, falcons going after, and she was like, so this one doesn't know she's smaller than the geese, and it's really interesting sometimes. They're like, no, and she's like, yes, we're going to go at it. She's like, no, I just want you to chase them, not, like, attack them. just chase. Nope, we're gonna have a fight. Cool.
Look, that particular falcon has a blood feud against all geese.
I mean, can you blame it?
No, I cannot, because those,
like, fair.
No, with their rows of horrifying teeth.
And this is where we are super glad that there is not a swan character in Winnie the Pooh. Just harmless things like owls. Owls also have beaks for days.
One thing that I did not realize, and I read the books when I was younger, and I never put two and two together, that Gopher wasn't actually a thing in the books.
Right. So he was, to make it American adjacent, like, to make it more Americanized. And I was like, so we brought in a shoddy contractor to make it more American. I was dying watching that bit. It was like, all I need is 7 sticks of dynamite. And I was like, what?
It was just... And I would trade nothing for that little bundle of sharp whistle notes. Destruction. He makes me so happy.
Oh yeah, he's great, and he has that same whistle as the beaver from Lady and the Tramp, which is just endearing and adorable, and I love him.
I used to try when I was little to do the gopher whistle, and it would just end up sounding like nothing.
But well, that's because they actually used the whistle and blew down in it to make that sound.
No,
I'm sorry. Did I officially ruin your childhood forever?
I mean, it makes sense. You should think about it. That's not a noise that's going to come from anyone's mouth, but I'm still sad.
I can't prove they did that with Gopher, but I know that they did that for the beaver in Lady and the Tramp, so I have absolutely no reason to think that they weren't doing the same thing with Gopher.
Oh my god. He was great. That was a real solid addition to the Winnie the Pooh universe.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job of integrating him in. I will say that, like,
Rabbit is like super judgy the whole time with everything that's involved. And like that whole scene where Pooh is stuck in his the little tiny hole to his house, which there is a big door. Why would you send the bear that tends to overeat and he ate 9 pots of honey? Why would you be like, hey, you know what? There's a door. Oh no, you're gonna go through the
because Rabbit, in his judgmentalness, needs to create situations in which he can be judgmental.
I did, like, I was laughing about him holding the protest meeting about, like, we have to unbounce Tigger. And I'm like, what is happening? Why are you like this?
A.A. Milne ran into the worst HOA leader possible and never forgave them.
Oh, yeah, we've all had that one. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
But, and then, like, every time Owl talks, he's just on this rant, like, they ask him something, and he's just off on this random tear about, like, he talked about his cousin, the screech owl, who is an opera singer and played the glockenspiel and laid a seagull egg by mistake, and I was like, what is happening? What? Why? What? And then he talks about the owl and the pussycat, which I was like, oh, I know that reference at least, but what?
Yep. But when I was younger, never even questioned it. Like, never, not once can I remember, like, which I mean doesn't say much because I can't remember much from when I was a child, but like stopping and being like, wait, how would they have one, laid a seagull egg, two, known it was a seagull egg? Like, at no point it's just like, oh yeah, what a funny story for Owl to tell.
That's great. I did notice, and I'd known it, but I don't remember really noticing it as a kid, of how much this cartoon is a book. And like, I love that. All the Disney movies up till now, except for a select few, have been made from books, but this particular one was a book, like with the words and the page numbers and everything.
And I'm trying to remember how much of me noticing that was a thing is from actually realizing it watching the movie, or from me playing Kingdom Hearts, because all of Winnie the Pooh's levels are very much like the movie and it's set inside a book.
I remember the getting Tigger down by turning the page to the side and letting him slide down the words. Like, I think I remember that one from being a kid. But it was, I was just like, you know, this is a storybook, and they did a really good job with that setting of always like panning out that little bit so you could see the words written on the page, and and that I thought they did that really, really well.
Oh, and it's just like, just even thinking about that just releases serotonin in my mind. It is such a happy memory that I don't even really notice or obviously think of often. I'm not frequently sitting there being like, ah, yes, that time that I watched Winnie the Pooh. I have other things on my mind, but it's just thinking back, and I can picture it so vividly, just that art style. It's one of my favorite things.
Well, it is. And it's so iconic for this time. And I do like that we have the two, like, probably most iconic movies of the Gen X millennial range of Robin Hood and Winnie the Pooh. Like, those are back to back in the Disney canon. And it's like, there are no two more movies from this era that people are like, this gives me that chill of happiness when I watch it. And my sister-in-law is actually decorating my future niece's nursery with Winnie the Pooh, and she was like, you do not ruin Winnie the Pooh. I was like, I'm gonna do my best, but I cannot make promises. And then when I watched it, I was like, no, you can't ruin Winnie the Pooh. Like, there's nothing watching Winnie the Pooh that you're like, well, that was messed up. Like, there's no Peter Pan scene where you're like, why? There's just a little bit of like, you made Tigger sad and that makes me sad. Yep. But that's it.
That's really, and I feel like that carries across to all of the Winnie the Pooh, like from the cartoon. I remember some distressing puppet show that was Winnie the Pooh, and just that was only made distressing because the puppets were weird. But like, there's really nothing that I can think of that was just like, ooh, I mean, again, aside from the vaguely the rain cloud bit where that was just kind of like, this isn't particularly great, but it's just, it's wholesome family entertainment.
And even the rain cloud bit, like, even though you're like, could we just stop dying characters black? But like, it is, he's pretending to be a rain cloud to pretend to get the bees to hide so he can have honey. I mean, it is, if there's going to be a wholesome reason for a character to dye themselves black, that is the most like adorable child thought process ever. Yep. I was laughing. Like, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, it's like the way that a child's brain thinks, like, I used to hide under my blanket if I didn't want to go to school and make myself flat just by like starfishing out. And it's like, my parents are never going to know that I'm here. I'm flat. And it's like, no, there's a whole ass lump in bed. Get up. Who are you? Come on.
It's like when the little kids hide and they're just like, their eyes are squeezed shut so you can't see them. That is my favorite thing to do with little kids. Be like, where is the child standing right in front of me? I cannot see her.
So cute. Did you ever pick up, I feel like I'm probably mispronouncing this, the Tao of Pooh?
I have not. And you're I've seen it, the Tao of Pooh. I've seen that. I've never actually read it, but I've seen it.
I never read it as an adult. I decided when I was a child and saw it, I was like, ooh, this is Winnie the Pooh. Give it to me, Mama. And for whatever reason, my mom did. And I just remember being like, wait, this isn't, what is this? What's happening? And being very disappointed. But like, I want to go back and reread that and see how people are able to take this experience and take this character that is just this innocent childhood thing and carry it into so many different aspects of life. I find that part particularly really fascinating about Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, I did find a lot of him enjoying simple things or doing good things for himself because of things he likes. Like that very first bit about like how he's exercising not to get in shape or be stronger or lose weight. He's exercising because it improves his appetite and allows him to eat more. And he's totally fine with being short and fat. He's totally fine with being a bear of very little brain. Like, he just accepts who he is.
Yep.
And I'm like, we could all be a little bit more like Winnie the Pooh, just accepting who we are at our core and just, you know, being okay with that.
And I never even stopped to think about that way. Like that's just, Winnie the Pooh really is the gift that keeps on giving, and no one can tell me otherwise.
Realistically, like of all of the characters, the only one that's kind of a poop head is Rabbit. Like, he's the only one that disapproves of anything. Like when you think about, Owl's a narcissist. All he can do is talk about himself. But when he does it in like this way of like caring about the people around him and being supportive and like, of course, Pooh, you can have honey. This is great. And everyone else around there is just like, I'm totally cool with who I am. And I'm totally cool with who my friends are. And I'm not going to ask them to be a different person in order for them to be a friend, except for Rabbit. Rabbit's a tyrant. Rabbit the tyrant. No one there just tells Eeyore, like, you know, if you smiled, you'd be prettier. And no one tells Piglet, have you thought of not being afraid of the world? They just accept that they are.
Yep. It's so nice. It's so nice to just take a step back from the world and be able to relive that and see that, like, you know what? It's okay to be you. It's okay if you're anxious. It's okay, like, just do what you can to be happy. And that's the most important part, is trying to do your best to be happy.
Well, and even at the very, very end, where they unbounce Tigger and then decide that he can bounce again very quickly.
Yeah.
What that thing of him saying, you know, Rabbit, your legs are made for bouncing. You should try bouncing. And as Rabbit's like starting to bounce, he's like, oh, this is fun. This is great. I should have tried this before. I should have maybe not been such a about everything. And like trying to keep it PG. But like it, you do see that moment of, oh, hey, if I accept what I'm built for and what I can do, I can have a lot more fun than if I'm judging everyone for doing that.
Oh, I'm trying to remember. Oh my God. I can't even remember what I was trying to remember. So ignore me.
No,
it was fine. Something I feel like Rabbit had a song. Maybe it was in a later Winnie the Pooh movie. I can't even remember what I was going with. So never mind.
I think you're right. I'm trying to, it's from Pooh's Grand Adventure.
Aha. Okay. I really appreciate, as being a very judgmental person, that Rabbit can be a jerk. But I like that he isn't ultimately, like, he is still a decent friend deep down. It just takes some digging.
With the gopher. No.
Always there to hand you a stick of dynamite inappropriately.
It's bracing. Don't forget the bracing. Man, when he started it on that, I was like, this is every construction worker I've ever known. I need 7 sticks of dynamite and some boards for bracing. I'm like, what? What are you doing?
You know, sticks of dynamite I thought was going to be more of a thing in my life when I grew up, much along with quicksand and what was the other thing?
Stop, drop, and roll?
Yes.
Yeah. We were just going to catch fire a lot more than I am very thrilled, but a little disappointed with the number of times I have had to stop, drop, and roll because I just caught fire randomly.
Seriously. And like, I used to go through the woods frequently. I used to run and frolic in the woods all the time. Nary a pit of quicksand to be found anywhere. Why was this a thing when we were growing up that everything was like, oh, you're either going to explode, catch on fire, or you're going to drown in a puddle of sand? Like, what?
And if you're very, very lucky, you'll do all three in one movie.
That's how you know you made it.
Right? I see that one a lot. It's like, I really thought I would catch on fire a lot more than I have. And I'm like, well, that's a big honking zero for me. So yeah, I did feel like catching on fire was a lot more common than it is.
Yes. Did you ever, my town used to, like, once a year would bring you had the choice to not go, but they had like a day at the fire station where they set up this house and it was like, go in it and you're gonna see what you have to do if the house catches on fire. And yeah, then go get pizza.
They brought it to the elementary schools. It was like a trailer.
Yes, it was a trailer. Again, obviously, very useful information to have. But another thing growing up, I was like, is this something I need to be very afraid of?
It's no wonder that we all have anxiety. Like, it's no wonder that everyone from our generation has anxiety. Like, we were going to catch on fire. Our house was going to catch fire. Like, we needed to know how to crawl out of a bedroom because the smoke was up here and you have to touch the door handle to make sure it's not hot. Like this was embedded in my brain. And I'm like, you know, I could have used the quadratic equation probably instead of fear mongering. Yeah. And also, people were just going to walk up to us on the street and be like, I've injected you with drugs and now you're like completely addicted and you will never not be addicted.
Seriously, I just never once did a stranger give me drugs on Halloween. They spent their hard-earned money. That's not going to be a thing.
I like that one that comes out. Oh, yeah, it's like,
here's your acid.
Just a reminder, drugs are really expensive, so people aren't giving them to your kids.
Like, no.
Do you have any final thoughts about Winnie the Pooh?
I am very excited. I have decided that I'm now going to go through and watch the rest of the Winnie the Pooh movies, like the Heffalump movie and all of those. Like, I'm excited to have a really good, wholesome weekend ahead of me.
Oh, that sounds like an amazing time. I cannot wait to be able to go through the rest of this canon, because really it is. It's like, it's the best part of the Bronze Era. Even Robin Hood is iconic, but it has a few of those moments. This one is just like, well, I've had a lovely day. I'm going to continue having a lovely day.
Oh, it's just, it's so good. I'm excited for you to get to the rest of them. I love listening to, even though sometimes I get real sad, like I'm really excited to continue on and see how you're going to ruin more beloved Disney for me.
Well, I'm thrilled to keep ruining it for you. But yeah, I think the big takeaway from Winnie the Pooh is love yourself as you are, love your friends as they are. And you can be friends with people who are different than you as long as you accept them for who they are, unless they're racists. Yep.
Exactly.
Which is not part of the movie, but I think that Winnie the Pooh would have had some talks about that. Like, no.
I like to agree with you. I think 100% he would draw that line. He was like, we can be friends and we can have a difference of opinion, but what isn't a difference of opinion is racism, homophobia, transphobia, so on and so forth. No. Yeah. Hard line stands for Winnie the Pooh is what I believe.
Yeah. I'm going to believe that that Winnie the Pooh would punch Nazis. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Oh, now I want a drawing of Winnie the Pooh as Captain America.
Please, fan artists, please draw Winnie the Pooh punching a Nazi. We love you.
Please and thank you.
Well, Dylan, thank you so much for joining me today. And I cannot wait to go hear you discuss smut and ruin my childhood from other things. And I just really appreciate you taking time to talk to me today.
Thank you for having me. And I promise that we will stay far, far away from Winnie the Pooh because I have a line.
Yeah. Don't ruin Winnie the Pooh. We like him.
I promise.
If you'd like to support the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review. Even if you don't listen on Apple Podcasts, those ratings and reviews affect almost every other podcatcher. If the app you're using right now has a rating system, please consider rating and reviewing there as well. I also have a Patreon page where you can contribute monetarily to the podcast. For just $1 every month, you get an ad-free version of the regular episodes one day early. And for $5 a month, you get a bonus episode that discusses the history and commentary of other childhood favorites. This month, I'm talking about Ridley Scott's 1985 film Legend, starring Tom Cruise, Tim Curry, and a lot of dark themes. Patrons also get a say in what bonus episodes I'm making for the future, so if you want more of my rabbit hole research, that's the place to go. I also have single bonus episodes available at oofmychildhood.com if you don't want to commit to a monthly subscription. You can also find mugs, aprons, and t-shirts on the website. My theme music was composed and played by Sean Rudolph of Let Music Be. For more information on that studio, you can visit their website at letmusic.be or check the show notes for an easy link. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you come back each week to discuss Disney through modern eyes. I release a new episode every Monday through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many, many other podcatchers. So until next time, keep the magic alive.
Today, I'm talking with Dylan Lincoln from Plot What Plot Podcast. Nope, I can't say it. Plot What Plot Podcast. Plot What Plot Podcast. I should have practiced that. You know, a Venn diagram where we have a lot of, mixtures and overlap. That was the word I looked for. Wow, today is not going to be my English day.
And just that moment of... now it's my turn to not English well.
Yeah, fine.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.